We have our very own Anatoly is going to come and share the word with us today. So let's welcome him as he comes.
Thank you, Ron. Well, my name is Anatoly, and my family and I, we moved here in 2011. For those of you who don't know us, my wife Natalia here, she was part of a worship team, and my daughter Elizabeth. And we're really happy to be here, and I'm really excited about this opportunity to share the Word of God, and I don't take it lightly. I really treasure this opportunity, and you know, every time I need to speak publicly on a foreign language, and English, as you can hear from me, is a foreign language, I feel intimidated and kind of challenged, because you never know what comes out of your mouth next. It's like you think this is the word, but then it comes out and somebody's like, eyes going, what? So just please be gracious, and if you hear me saying something wrong, just discount it on my on lack of my language, okay? Who is your focus? This is what I would like to talk to you about. Who is your focus? My message is pretty basic. It's very simple. There is nothing new. I probably wouldn't tell you anything you haven't heard before. I just would like you to look at this picture that will come up next and tell me, do you see anything weird in this picture? You probably guys know it's in Italy, city of Pisa. It's a Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? It's a little bit crooked, doesn't really stand straight. This is how all the houses on Harbor Landing going to look like in 10 years or so. So guys who build that, they probably didn't understand the importance of foundation. They probably forgot that foundation is actually very important. And a subject I would like to talk to you about, it's one of those things we need to get it right in order for our Christian foundations would be solid and straight, so we won't look like that tower. That actually, they say that it's like for all time it's being around, every year it's keep on falling for about 2 inches every year. And only because they keep on doing lots of work and renovations, they try to settle it and stuff like that, only because of that it's still there, otherwise it would have fallen by now. I would like us to read, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But before we read that, I would like us to take just 30 seconds and try to answer to this question. For ourselves, it's a personal question. Who am I here for? Who am I here for? I know that often we ask questions like, what am I here for? Or why am I here? But today I would like us to focus on this question. Who am I here for? The answer to this question, it's an essential part of our foundation. The answer to this question is going to determine who is going to be the main focus in our lives. Who am I here for? Let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And can we just read it together, guys? Let's just 3, 2, 1, let's go. Amen. For Christ's love compels us. The love of Christ. On Friday before Easter, Natalie and I, we were watching The Passion of a Christ. It's a movie by that Mel Gibson put together. It's about last days of Christ and last hours before he died and rose again. And I just couldn't stop crying from this extravagant and rich love of Christ, something we can't understand, something we can't comprehend, and I can't wrap my head around it. This love that took him to the cross to die for our sins, to take our punishment on himself, so we can have this new life in him, that he found us and somehow we live with him. I can't even imagine what my life would have been without him. I don't want to even think about it. I'm so thankful for Christ's love for me. Aren't you guys, aren't you church thankful for the love of God, for the love of Christ? And Apostle Paul says, Christ's love compels us. This is our response to love of Christ. Lord, how can I repay? How can I respond to such an extravagant love that you have for me? He says, because we are convinced, it means no doubt about it, we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live, it's you and I, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was risen again. Apostle Paul showing us two ways of life, two approaches to life, two attitudes about life. Living for yourself or living for God. There is no really middle ground. It's either or. Living for God or living for yourself. Guys, I've been in both camps. There were periods in my life when I lived for God, but there were periods where I wasn't. Even when I was a Christian, I will share a little bit later. And this is what I want to tell you, that living for ourselves is a kind of life that's going to leave us empty, frustrated, always wanting for something, always lacking, always chasing something and never get satisfied. But living for God, even though it may get challenging in times, it's a kind of life that brings true, deep satisfaction, that will make us thrive, kind of life that filled with true joy and excitement. This is kind of life you want, amen? Living for God. Let's look at this scripture again, 2 Corinthians. Apostle Paul says, so those who live should no longer live for themselves. No longer. What does it mean? It means that we used to. This is how we used to live, for ourselves. Living, focusing on ourselves. I was the center of my universe. What's in it for me was the driving force of my life. Jesus found us. We experienced his love. He brought us into his kingdom, like we sang today. He made us citizens of heavens. We became part of his family. And he extended us this call, come and follow me, which means come and live for God. How are we going to live the rest of our lives here at earth? See, guys, salvation, it's not only about us going to heaven when we die. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. Salvation, it's about living right here for God. Being living testimony of his goodness, reflecting his glory, and living for him every day. This is what salvation is all about. Amen? You will ask me, is it possible at all to believe in Jesus and not living for him, not following him? Well, let's read a quick passage from John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of Pharisees, they didn't confess it, so they wouldn't put out of synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Even though they believed in Jesus, because Bible clearly says that they did believe in Jesus, they were focusing on something else. They never made Jesus the main focus and center of their lives. See, church, this is what I want to tell you today. God wants you to center your life around him. God wants you to build your life with him at the very core, at the very center. He doesn't want him to be just a part of your life or a portion or a segment of your life. He wants to be your life. Sometimes people say, well, God is a major part of my life. My faith, it's a big part of my life. God is my life. He's not part of my life. He's everything in my life. There is no life without Him. He is everything. And everything else revolving around Him. He is a center. He is nucleus. He is right there in the middle. This is what He is calling us. Let's take a look at this scripture again, and I just want to point your attention to this word. It's 2 Corinthians. Yeah. For those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him. This word for, it's the same word in Greek that can be translated as to. So we can read it as live, not live for themselves, but live to Him. And I really like how it sounds, living to God. It speaks of intentional offering of our lives to Him. It speaks of focusing our lives on Him. You know, guys, all of you know how to take pictures with your phone, right? Do you? Any people who have cell phones around here? You know, when you try to take picture, sometimes when you pull your camera and you find that by default, autofocus may focus on different object. Like, for example, I want to take picture of Ron, but instead of Ron, Justin there will be in focus and Ron will be all blurred. So what you do when that happens? What you do? You just put your finger there, right? You tap it on Ron's face and you make sure that Ron is in focus. See, by default, we tend to focus on ourselves. By default, our flesh pulling us back to be self-focused, to make it, again, it's all about me. What's in it for me? About my comfort, about my pleasure, about my happiness. That's why Paul says, I die every day. This decision to live for God, it's something we come back to over and over again, daily, even hourly. This morning, I woke up and I refocused again. Lord, it's all about you. It's for you. This everything is for you. I don't want to be focused on myself, even as I preach. I don't want to be focused on myself or even on you, to be quite honest with you. I want to be focused on Him. Refocus, refocus. It's time to refocus. Who is your focus? You'll see a little picture here. You may ask me, well, why are you showing us a butterfly on the big screen? Well, see how in focus it is. You can't really see anything else. Everything else is blurred. There is probably some background, but you can't see it because camera was focused on this butterfly. This is the center. This is what it is. Who is your focus, guys? Who is your focus? God wants to be the center of your attention. This is what worship is. Every time you center on God, every time you focus at Him, you are worshiping. Songs, it's not only songs. Songs can be worship, but it's not only that. Every single time you focus at Him, at home, at work, while you're driving, while you do anything you're doing, you're worshiping Him. This is what worship is. Worship is centering my life on God. Are you in a ministry? That's great if you're in a ministry. Don't make your ministry the main focus on your life. Don't build your life around your ministry, but build your ministry around God. You're in a business, you own a business, that's awesome, guys. It's really great that you own a business. Don't make your business the center of your life, but build your business with a God in the center of that, around Jesus. You have a family, you own kids, congratulations, that's awesome. Don't make your family the center of your life. Build your family around Jesus. Build your family with God in the center. Amen? Who is in the center? Who is our focus? You're rich, you have lots of money. That's great, I'm really happy for you. Don't make your money center of your life. Don't build your life around your money, but allow your money to flow toward God's purposes. You don't have lots of money? Well, welcome to the club. Don't make absence of your money the center of your life. Chasing for money, making how to make money, don't make it your center of your life. Don't focus on that. Focus on God. Focus on God. I can preach 1,000 messages. Maybe all 900, I don't really know. Never preached that much. But all of my messages will always have this one core theme. Focus on God. Focus on God. Personally for me, it's the answer to all of the life's questions. You're going through a tough time? Focus on God. You're going through pain? Focus on God. You have family problems, marriage issues? Focus on God. You have problems with finances? You need guidance? You feel like you're stuck? Focus on God. Life is great, everything as it should be. Focus on God. See, this is where, when we get connected, when we're focusing on God like that, this is where we truly get connected to the fullness of Christ. And this is where we get connected to His promises. This is where the power of His promises being real. You know, sometimes we hear about God's promises. God promises this, God promises that. Sometimes people manipulate and they mistreat God's promises. Sometimes people think that God's promises is like a lottery ticket that you won and then you can do whatever you want, live how you want, and then you can come and just claim it with a ticket. Okay, I need two healings and one, I don't know, one resurrection or whatever. I need $2,000 and I don't know, any promises you guys want to apply here. It's not about that. When you focus on God, that's when you experience the fullness of Him, the fullness of His presence. And when He comes in His fullness, His promises come with Him. You can't detach God as a person from His promises. You can't. So when you live this life focused on Him, that's you give Him room to come and to manifest Himself in your life in full extent of His power and might. And this is where we can experience the reality of His promises. I have plenty of stories about miraculous and just unexplainable miracles that was happening in my life when I was growing up as a Christian. And just one of them, one of those stories, my mom and I, we got saved approximately in the same time. It was mid-90s. It was Ukraine. Ukraine just got independence from Soviet Union. Everything was ruined. No economy. Like it was terrible. My mom, she used to work as an engineer with a degree in engineering, and she had to clean some offices, some spaces, just so we have enough money to get by. I was still in high school, and you know it was tough. But we were never focused on that. It's like we never saw ourselves as a victims or like, oh, poor us. I just remember it was a time when we just came to the Lord. And in our church, we used to have 3 services on Sunday. Then we had a Holy Spirit service on Tuesday night, teaching service on Wednesday night, overnight prayer every Friday. And all I remember, we didn't even have money to take a bus, so we were walking. It was about 30 minutes walk to go to this place, and we were happy. We were soaked in God's presence. Yes, sometimes hungry. Yes, sometimes a little bit uncomfortable. But it was just so amazing. And we saw, like one time, it was like one of those days, but nothing. We didn't have any food. Fridge was empty. Like, you know, nothing. And I grew up with dogs. I'm a dog person. Well, later I got married to a cat lady, so now we have 2 cats in our home. But I am a dog person. I grew up with 3 great dogs. And one of them was a poodle, somewhat like your Fergus, Linda. A little black poodle, really smart, great dog. We lived in an apartment building, so we let our dogs just walk by themselves and come back. They were smart enough to do that. So one day, his name was Jim. Sorry about all the Jims. Like, I don't know why we call him Jim. I don't know. You can call your dog Anatoly. I wouldn't get offended. Well, so he goes out for a walk, and then he comes back. And he holds in his mouth whole grilled chicken, roasted. And he, like, he scratches to our door, we open the door, and he comes and holds the chicken in his mouth. And it's like, what? You know, first miracle that he brought a chicken, second miracle he didn't eat it because dogs were all, they were all also hungry. And stuff like that was happening, were happening. When you focus on God, when you live God-focused life, oh my goodness, this is where action happens. This is where fun begins. This is where you give God room to show up and just do whatever you want to do in your life. This is kind of life I want. This is where His fullness comes. My greatest desire, every time I pray, my greatest desire for me, for my life, it's His fullness. His fullness in my life, His fullness in my family, His fullness, this is more than anything else that I want. More than money, more than position, more than any opportunities, more than any career, more than anything else. I want God's fullness, the fullness of His presence manifested in my daily life. This is what I want. Do you want that, guys? Do you want God's fullness in your life? Do you, guys? Do you, church? God's calling us to keep Him as a main focus. I really like this quote from Rick Warren. You can't arrive at your life purpose by starting with focus on yourself. You can't arrive at your life's purpose You can't arrive at your life's purpose by starting focusing on yourself. We like this, our slogan, leave your call, do we? It's a great mission statement, leave your call. There is no leaving your call without focusing on God. Because focusing on God and living for God, it is our call. The rest flows out of it. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you the catcher of men. You follow me. I will make you everything you need to be. I will show you. I will teach you. I will open the doors. I will make you. I will do everything it needs to be done. But you follow me. Focus on me. Make me the center of your life. Build your life with me in your core. And I will come through. I will lead you. And I will make you everything you need to be. Amen? I really like this, another quote here. We were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. Lots of Christians, they live in frustration because they are focused on themselves. They fighting these questions, why, what, when. Like they're frustrated because they can't figure out what's happening in their lives, and because of that, they're frustrated. But once we figure out, who am I here for? It will all make sense. You see this Rubik's Cube. It may seem like it's very difficult to put together Rubik's Cube, but if you read about it, you just need to know where to start. You just need to know the first moves you need to do. It's like multi-layers strategy. Once you have your first pattern done, everything else just smoothly falling into place. Once you figure out, once you know that you were made by God and for God to live for Him, to keep Him as the main focus in your life, the rest, the everything else in your life, some questions you don't have answers for right now, it will all fall into place. Everything else will find its level. It will fall into place once you keep Him the main focus. I love this quote by Andy Stanley. Purpose is always found across the border from what's in it for me. What's in it for me? If we live by what's in it for me, we need to cross that border. That's where God's purpose is. That's where God's calling is. That's where God's presence is. That's where God's fullness is. This is where. And guys, we're not immune to selfishness. I hate how much I'm thinking about myself. It's a daily fight. It's a daily fight. Daily fight, refocusing, keeping God first again and again and again. It's a daily thing that we do. Why is it dangerous to be self-focused? Why is it dangerous to live life keeping ourselves at the core, to being self-centered? Let's read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I would like to read from verses 1 through 5. I won't read all of it, but understand this. In the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of whom? Of whom? People will be lovers of self. Later, he goes into description, into more detailed description of all kind of bad things that people will become. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, and all these things. But it all starts with focusing on oneself. Once myself becomes the center of my life, I'm becoming self-loving. It should be all about me. I should be satisfied. I should be happy. I should be fulfilled. I, about me, for me. It takes me to the path that I don't want to be. It takes me to the path away from God's fullness, His purpose, and His calling. And let's just go to the next slide. It's a verse 5. I wanna show you something here. Next slide, please. Verse 5. All these people having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Paul wasn't speaking about people from outside of church. He was speaking about Christians, because not Christians, they don't even have appearance of godliness. What is godliness? Godliness is God-centered life. Godliness is living your life keeping God at the very core and is the very center. So when the people denying the power of godliness, this word power, it's exactly the same word. It's a dunamis. It's the power of God. It's transforming, miraculous power of God that we pray about, that we fast about. Lord, more power, more power. There is a power in God-focused life. There is a power of God released in our lives when we build our life with God in the center of it, when we keep Him as a main focus. And when people live being focused on themselves, they missing out on this power. They detaching themselves from this power. They wouldn't let that power to go and work in their lives. That's why sometimes we feel like we're empty. Our lives are empty. We can't get satisfied. Always wanting for more. More stuff, more status, more influence, more control, more praise, more attention, more respect, more popularity, more money, bigger church, bigger crowds, more success. If I only had that, I would be happy. If I only can reach there, I would be filled then. And then we're getting there and we're empty again. Because we're chasing for things that can't satisfy it. What we're craving for, it's God Himself. It's His fullness. It's His presence. Which can only we can get there when we're focusing on Him. I've been there. Even though I started living for God when I was 16 years old, God found me. Like first couple of years of my life with Christ, I was in love. God was everything to me. Later on, I did allow my selfishness, my need for approval, my bitterness, my pride to pull me back living for myself. Even though I still was a Christian, I was in ministry, I was working in the church, I was preaching, I was planting churches, we were going and doing stuff, and I was teaching in the Bible school. I wasn't living for God. I was chasing for something for myself. I was using God rather for stuff I was doing than other way around. We were planting a church once in the city of Dnipropetrovsk in 2002. We were sent and we started the church from scratch. It was a good journey. We grew to 18 people from scratch. And then I focused on myself and I didn't realize how I didn't like that city. I wasn't happy with the way it smells, because it's an industrial city, somewhat like Regina. Smells with all kind of smells, and We came from Kyiv. It's a beautiful, greenest city in Europe. It's like, if you ever go there, it's like, wow. It's like Paris. That doesn't even come close. And then going to this Dnipropetrovsk, it was like, and people were a little bit different, like working class, and that I wasn't comfortable. So I was so focused on myself that I started to find reasons why I shouldn't be here. Probably it wasn't from God for us to be here, because God would bring us to a place where we would enjoy, where we would love it, where we would be happy. I wasn't happy, and I quit. I dumped it. It was bad. I don't have time right now to tell you, maybe sometimes later, how it took us on a bad, bad path. We lost lots of stuff. We lost relationship. We lost apartment. We lost. It was like, and we end up here. And from here, well, it's like a lowest lowest point. And then from here, God started to restore our lives and restore understandings that we need to live, keeping Him as a main focus. Today's Christian culture has become very man-centered, very man-focused. We put ourselves as the center of everything. Pursuit of happiness became the main focus for many Christians. Everything should be about me, my happiness, my comfort, my satisfaction. So there are lots of teachings and books that feed that idea. And we are seeking to hear those teachings, to read those books, because they make us feel good about ourselves. It's all about me. I is the focus of many teachings and books these days. You may have heard this term, deification of man. It's a very dangerous viewpoint than trying to creep into the Church of Christ. It's when we create image of God in our own minds. When we create this image of God after ourselves, it's like deified versions of ourselves. God that we're comfortable with. God that would never confront us or challenge us. God that suits us. God that fits our lifestyle. I heard people saying often, my Jesus would never do this, or my Jesus would do this or that. It's like everyone has his own Jesus. There's only one Jesus, Son of God, the King of Kings, only one Jesus. But sometimes people creating this image of God that, you know, suits them, that works for them. This God works for me. This God? No, I don't think so. That's why they're trying to pick and choose what to read from Bible or from books to reinforce that image. Let's just read another passage from Timothy. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myth. This is scary, guys. When we leave focusing on ourselves, we start picking and choosing teachings and messages and books that would feed and justify our self-centeredness. You can take this book, and if you're skilled enough, you can make it say whatever you want. Especially, this is Russian Bible, so I can definitely make it say whatever I want. If you have some crazy idea, you can probably find somehow proof from the book. You can twist it, you can cut it, you can arrange it, you can, you know, shuffle it, and here we go. I don't know, if you want to kill rabbits for fun, I can probably find you some biblical backgrounds why it's good. I will find you some words in Old Testament that means hope, like this Greek word when it's in past tense means hope. And so now here we go. Let's open the sect of killing rabbits for fun. I don't know. I'm sorry, just it's crazy, stupid example. But anything. That's why we need to be sober. That's why we need to focus on God all the time. Being open, reading whole Bible, being open to God, sometimes challenging us or confronting or sometimes Sometimes we may not like what we hear, but we need that. We need that to grow. We need that to keep our foundation straight, so we wouldn't look like that, you know, falling Tower of Pisa. That's why it's easy to preach stuff like the prosperity gospel, because when you do that, you preach into the itching ears. You tell people what they want to hear. You tell them how to have a better life, how to be more happy, more money. And it's easy because, yeah, come on, bring it on. I can even pay you $50 to hear you speak about that. Well, try to write a book and try to sell a book about dying to self or something like denying yourself. Try to become rich selling that book. Interesting to see how many copies you can sell. True teaching of the Word of God will always make you want to live for God. Commit your life to Him. Keep Him as the very center of your life. To please Him, to chase after Him, to kiss His face, and to seek how to bring Him glory. It will never make you feel entitled. It will never make you feel like it's all about you, like you're center of it all. Why it's dangerous to be self-focused? Focusing on yourself will make you live for yourself. And this is not the kind of life that you want. I really like this quote from Rick Warren. Surrender. It's not the best way to live. It's the only way to live. Nothing else works. All other approaches lead to frustration, disappointment, and self-destruction. Focusing on God leads us to surrender. Leads us to complete surrender. Makes us truly rely on Him. Surrender everything to Him and trust Him completely with our lives. Instead of running around trying to fix things, trying to make it all about me so it would work for me, satisfy me, we surrender. We surrender. That's what happens when we focus on Him. It leads us to surrender. I would like to, in the next couple minutes, I have 5 more minutes, I will give you 3 quick tips how we can live for God in our day-to-day lives. 3 tips. They will be right here on the screen. Aim to please Him. Seek to bring Him glory in everything. Chase after Him. Corey, you're on there. I feel lonely. I feel like I'm gonna have a guy in a yellow sweater with me on the stage. Aim to please Him. I really like this quote. Next one. Pleasing God is the goal of your life. The smile of God is the goal of our lives. Smile of God. This is exactly the same that Paul saying. It's a 2 Corinthians 5:9. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. We make it our aim. What's your aim? What's your life's aim? Apostle Paul saying, my aim is to please Him. We know that we live for God when we make it all about pleasing Him. Pleasing Him. Just the other week we had an argument with Natalie. Well, we do, even though we celebrate our 20th year anniversary this summer, we do have arguments every now and then. And I felt it would please God if I stop insisting on me being right. If I apologize, I would take back and I would just calm down. I would stop trying to make her agree with me. It's a little things like that. To please God, you don't need to do great things. When I was younger, I wanted to do great things for God. Now, I just want to do things for great God. I don't want to do great things for God. I want to do real simple things for great God, to please Him. It may be as simple as wash your dishes, or help someone, or hug a kid, or go to Uganda and just take some kid and hug him. Maybe this is all you do, show love to someone. It's a small things like that, to volunteer, to minister, to help out. Small things, when you do it for a great God, it pleases Him. It causes a smile on His face. This is what I'm after. Seek to bring Him glory in everything. Romans 11:36. For everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by His power, and everything is for His glory. We exist to display His glory, to glorify. We were saved and called to God's kingdom. We were created for His glory, to glorify Him. Living for God means in every single thing in our lives, in our families, in our day-to-day living, seeking to glorify His name. When we understand that God's glory is in stake, it changes our perspective. It changes how we treat other people. It changes what we say. It changes our attitude and approaches for work. Because God's glory is in stake. I make a decision to be better husband, to be better father, because God's glory is in stake. Natalie and I, we both came out from broken families. I grew up without father. My father was alcoholic. He died when I was 6 years old. My mom had lots of men around, and I saw lots of bad things. I never had example of what men should look like, good father or good husband. I had no idea. Naturally, issues arise, because when we got married, none of us knew what this marriage is all about. We thought we'll just get married and we'll be happy ever after. Well, it never happened. We had lots of issues that we worked through. Understanding that God created our marriage for His glory, to manifest, to display His glory through our relationships, helps us. It helps me big time to understand that I should treat Natalie like Bible teach me, to love her like Bible teach me, because God's glory is at stake. Not just because I feel like that today, maybe tomorrow I won't feel like that, but God's glory is at stake. Living, it's another quote from Rick Warren, living for God's glory, it's the biggest achievement we can accomplish with our lives. And last one, chase for Him. King David, God called him a man after my own heart. What was so special about King David? There is a psalm that gives us a little insight. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked of Lord, that I will seek after. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing. What if we strip down and narrow down all our praise to only one thing? Everything we pray about, only one thing. What would be the main thing we pray about? In David's life, God, I want You. More than I want anything from You, I want You. I want to be in Your presence. I want to chase after You. I want to see Your face. I want to gaze upon Your beauty. David realized how beautiful God is. Sometimes we chase God's hand. God, I don't want Your hand if I can't see Your face. It's not good enough. What God can give us, what kind of prayers He can answer. I want Him. I want to chase after Him, just to be with Him, enjoy His presence, grow in knowledge of Him, and loving Him. I really love this quote from Timothy Keller. I have no idea who this guy is, but I like his quote. Religion finds God useful, but true faith finds Him beautiful. Beautiful. Is God useful for you, or He is beautiful? Church, God is calling us to refocus. Not just to go after Him. His hand is mighty. There is no limits to what He can do. But He wants us to focus on His face, on His heart, so we would chase after Him. We are here for Him, church. Our church, this ministry, this service, we're not here for you or for me or for worship team. We are here for Him. The temple of God was built with intention to worship Him. Songs we sing, everything we do, it's about Him. It's about pleasing Him and bringing Him glory, magnify His name, and being with Him. This is one thing I'm trying to teach Elizabeth, my daughter. Make God the center of your life. Don't be so obsessed about other things. Your grades, your popularity, if you're famous or not. Don't be obsessed about that. Your future career, your future education, it will all come. If you make God center and foundation of your life, it will all fall into place. And I feel if I can teach her that, I'm a successful parent. There's nothing else I can teach. There's one thing I want to teach her. Apostle Paul, let's just go to the very last slide. It's a very scripture we started with. When Paul was saying that God's love compels us. Church, are you compelled by Christ's love to live for God? Do you feel that God's love compelling you and causing you and moving inside of your heart, making you kneel and just, Lord, I don't want to live for myself. I wasted a lot of time living for myself and keeping myself as a focus in my life. From now on, I want to live for you in everything. It may look different from everybody. You can still do your business. You can still do your work. You can still do your career. You can still be doctor, whatever. Or in the mid, doesn't matter. Right where you are, God's calling you to live for Him, making Him the main focus of your life.